How do you think it would affect the Kikseti if frogs ceased to exist, or if they died off, or there was a problem with them?
I think they would wonder what, why. Because they, it's like my brother said, you can never kill a frog. Because they go down in the ground and freeze during the winter, and they come back in the spring and die out, and that's where they are. Mm. He said, you stomp on them or whatever, but you can never kill them. And my family was very strong frog Kikseti people. We were taught to highly respect that Kikseti pole. Mm. Mm. My mother was one of the highest Kikseti women in Wrangell.
Oh, neat. What was her name?
Louise, her Tlingit name was Kikchisi.
What does that mean?
She spoke, I think, 5 different languages of the Indians, because our culture has different protocols, and they teach them at a very young age. Like, my uncle was a master carver, and he was taught at a young age on carving. And my oldest brother, if it were in the day when he was starting to be taught to be a storyteller, a historian, and they teach him from a young age. And I never understood that until I was already, well, my children were grown, and I had a naming ceremony down at the tribal house. Mm. And I explained to my nephew, who wanted his children named, how they go about naming and everything. And his children, he married a non-native, so his wife had to be adopted by the opposite of what he was. He was a raven. He had to be, his wife had to be adopted a bear or eagle. And Esther Shea was a bear. And so I asked her if she would be able or have it in her wanting to adopt my nephew's wife and children. Mm-hmm. And she said she would, so I got back to my nephew and told him everything he had to do to make this naming the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so he did, and his brother's boy was, he was a, his mother was a raven, and he didn't need to be adopted. But they gave him his Tlingit name. And when we had those 3 children up there getting their names, plus one of the mothers, and we had the elders sitting on the side, we had Esther Shea and Carol Brady and Marlita Wallace. We're sitting on the side as the elders, as witnesses. And I explained to the parents what had to be done and why. And so when they got gifts for the elders, plus they got things for Esther because she adopted my family. And then when it was over, Esther called me over, and she pointed to one of my great nephews. She said, that's your Indian right there. And I looked at her and she said, he's Indian. The other 2 were Indian too, but she could see in him what probably our elders could see in the different children when they were growing up, what they were. Were they storytellers? Were they, you know, like this? And then they would start training them, start teaching them. And it's sure enough, that boy, he loves to dance, he loves his history, and he came and went to Celebration. He came here and with his dad. And I have, I've been wanting to do this, and I never had a time. Time gets away from you. But I had, my husband had this frog hat. One piece of wood, a big frog carved hat. And the things I have, I'm a caretaker. There's a difference between a caretaker and a owner. I am a caretaker of the Kiksetti robe that's in the museum and of a raven backbone staff that I put in the museum to be safe, and another, what they call a keeping time stick. I'm a caretaker of those things for my people, and they were given to me to be caretaker when I turned 21. And my father brought them to me and said, "You are a caretaker." So I learned. He told me, my mother told me, a caretaker only takes care of these things for their tribe. Doesn't belong to you. You can't sell it. And so I'm a caretaker of these things. And when I went to one of the elders' conferences up in Juneau, and I know it was Sitka, I was sitting with the elders there, and I was never, when I was in high school, when I first got married, I was never this talkative. I was very quiet and in to myself. But I went to elders' conference, and I stood up, and I said, "We need to change with the times. We can't live in the past the way we used to, because the generations have changed, and we need to change." And I said, one of the things I said, I have done, and I think this is a way we should be looking towards, because they already had experiences here and Klukwan where the caretakers have sold what they were taking care of. Klukwan, they sold their valuables, and they had a hard time getting them back. And so when I was at the conference, I said, I have, because times have changed, we can't do just agreement on verbal. I said, so the robe that I'm a caretaker of, I put it in my will, who the next caretaker will be. The staff, the same way, the things I have are in my will as to who the next caretakers are. And I have talked to each one of them and explained to them what a caretaker was. And so I really believe that has to be done with our people, because word of mouth isn't good anymore. Our words aren't as powerful and meaningful, because what they did long ago came from here. It doesn't come from there anymore. Our blood is getting so diluted that it's not coming straight from the heart the way it used to, because you didn't grow up in it. So that was how that caretaker is.
The hat, is there a story behind
the hat?
It?
My husband, this man knew I was a frog. He's a carver, Wayne Price, up in Haines. He knew I was a very strong Kiksetti. He sent a picture of this hat down to my husband. He says, I have this hat, I just finished it. Would you like to buy it? And he bought it for a lot of money. And I've been wanting to take it to Celebration, and I wore it myself only twice. It is very heavy.
Yeah.
And anyway, this Celebration, I told my sister, she has three sons. I only have one. I said, I want to take the frog hat to Celebration. I've been wanting to. And I said, one of your boys can wear it because they're Kick Cities. And we got up there. It will fit her grandson to a T, and he's the one that Esther Shea was an Indian. Said he was an Indian. He wore it so perfectly, danced so proudly. It was just awesome. It was like it was made for him. It was beautiful. I hope somebody got good pictures of him in it.
Yeah.
Cool. It was awesome. And but my husband got it, and he wasn't an Indian, but he respected me and my culture and my people, and he let me raise my children in their culture. And I told him, I said, you know, I can't wear this unless it's handed to me in public. And so we had a Native women's conference, or a Native conference in Wrangell. And we had a dancing going on down the island, and he brought it down. He was a very quiet man. And I didn't think he would do it, but he came. He didn't tell me he was going to do it. But he came and he brought the hat and came up on the stage. He said, I got this for my wife, so she'll have something to hand down to our children.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why he bought it. So, because the rest of the things I can't give, I can't sell, I can't give. And he bought that one so it would go to his children.
Neat.
So that was pretty awesome.
And you're keeping it until you pass, and then you give it to your children. Okay.
That everybody who's a frog can wear it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very heavy. Heavy in more ways than one. You know, it's just like I told my priest. She said, one of my younger priests, she said, sometimes this white collar gets really tight. Sometimes it's really hard to wear. I said, I don't know if you believe it or not, or what you think of it. I said, but when I put my button robe on, I said, sometimes that's very heavy, and sometimes it's hard to wear. I said, but you have to be strong to be able to wear it. And she said, okay.